And welcome to the call, everyone. This is Tristan with Sabrina, and you are on a Satori Method call for Awakened Living. And we're very excited to be with you today on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday. We're going to be sharing with you not what you originally thought. We're going to be today sharing about the five myths, false beliefs, and gossip about meditation. And I know Sabrina wants to jump right in and get this party started. So, Sabrina, my dear, have at it.
Seekers of truth, we're going to go over the five myths, false beliefs, and gossip about meditation. Debunked. So we're going to debunk the five myths, false beliefs, and gossip about meditation. So many people are confused by that word, as I'm sure you know, moving through your life and your busy day, and you use that word thinking people understand the concept the same way you do, and sometimes we're actually surprised that they don't have a clue. Just say the word meditation, and all kinds of images, notions, and judgments come up. Most are false concepts, scenes from esoteric movies, ideas from Greek mythology, or something you were told as a child, or even an outtake from a Saturday Night Live skit. The common misconception that people have are things like ideas. I can't sit for hours. Or, that's really weird. I'm a Christian. Who wants to meditate anyway? I'm too busy. Well, I'm sure an action step would be more helpful right now. Despite meditation being so simple and having, as you know, such huge rewards, these false misconceptions and myths stop people from getting started and make them quit before they really get to reap the benefits of meditating regularly. So we're going to go over the five most common myths. Are you ready?
I'm so ready to debunk these myths because meditation's a lifeline in my life. It has given me everything, really. It's brought me back to living from center. So let's debunk.
But I'm sure you remember, even though we were exposed to meditation very young,
mm-hmm.
very young meaning like 20 years old.
I was younger.
I was younger. Man. It still was very confusing.
Even back then, even more so, I think.
So myth number one, meditation is difficult. Now, one reason meditation may seem difficult is that you try too hard. You could be over-concentrating, judging your results, or just worried about getting it right.
Totally.
The best way to ensure that the process is enjoyable and that you get the most from your practice is to learn meditation from a qualified teacher, someone that makes it real world, someone that makes it doable. And to meditate effectively, you simply must be comfortable. Right? While sitting cross-legged in a lotus position works for a lot of people, for some it's neither practical or comfortable. So if it isn't comfortable for you, try sitting in a straight back chair with your feet flat on the ground. You can have open hands resting upward on your thighs, or you can touch your index finger to your thumb to create a circle, and this helps to keep the energy flowing. The main thing is that you want a straight spine in a position that keeps the body relaxed but not drowsy. That's a big difference. So you don't want a lot of tension in your body. You don't want it rigid. You want it relaxed, but you don't want to fall asleep. If the body's stiff, the flowing energy has difficulty moving in and through it. And then, as you know, there's also standing and moving meditations, Qigong, walking. There's even meditations you can do lying down.
Absolutely. So you mean we don't have to go outside and sit on a pile of ants and go beyond?
Oh, my gosh.
Sabrina.
So, yes, I thought meditation needed to be difficult.
Go beyond your body.
Years ago, I went with a group on a walk in a park.
Yeah.
On a hike. It was a Sunday, I remember. I think it was at Griffith Park in L.A.
Yeah.
And maybe there were 30 of us, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was hot. I had on short shorts and a little tank top, which is important to the story. I'm not just wanting you to know what I wore.
It was cute.
And when I was sitting cross-legged, and I carried a little pillow. We were really into fanny packs back then.
Fanny packs.
Everybody hiked with a fanny
bottle.
Pack, so you had water, and I could strap a little pillow in there. And where I was sitting after about 5 minutes, I realized was on a pile of ants. Now, these were not fire ants, if you're familiar with Texas, that bite you and it burns. They were just ants, ants that crawl, ants that were crawling up my ankles, up my calves, up my knees, up my thighs, and were approaching way, way too close to my shorts. And then they were climbing up my shirt and up my arms and around my neck. And I thought, ah, this is a test. I must transcend. I must transcend the ants and stay in this beautiful place of peace, and I'm going to ignore them. And while that could have its purposes,
it does,
right?
Sure.
The person leading the meditation, my meditation teacher at the time, turned to me, tapped me on the shoulder and said, "That's really unnecessary. Why don't you move?"
There's a saying, meditation doesn't make you stupid.
So I loved that, and I never forgot it. He says, "That is really unnecessary."
Yeah.
Because so much of my attention was in transcending these ants. And, right. And that's, you know, for my personality, like, I just really don't like any kind of bugs or creepy crawly things.
That was a big
things.
Deal for you.
It was a really big deal. So it did validate to
the
me how
of,
I can transcend the body and go beyond and allow. And I absolutely couldn't sit there thinking about the ants crawling on me because I would scream and get up and run. So I had to go deep. But just knowing meditation doesn't have to be difficult.
It does.
Right?
You don't have to cause these situations. And, you know, I think for you, Sabrina, having that experience, I've seen you use that skill later in your life when it was appropriate, when you didn't have a choice and you had to go beyond physical pain in your body. And so it has its place.
Right.
For sure.
Now I think I take it one step further and even invite.
Rather than go beyond.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good point.
I include it because... Mm. Well, we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
You know, stress is because there's two things. There's push and pull.
Right.
To have stress, there's some kind of fight. So, you know, I was fighting with the ants by only transcending them because
gave them power, yeah.
I gave them power. So often people have the image of meditation as an esoteric practice full of physical challenges, like certain ways of sitting, and rituals that have to be observed. You know, I was part of another meditation club once, and there was this whole thing you had to do with getting some water and putting it on an altar and dinging a bell and making sure there was a fresh flower, and you had to hold these beads in this certain, like, macrame pattern around your third finger and rub them together and make a noise. There was quite a bit of ritual, which became beautiful. But that really doesn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
So in reality, when you receive instruction from a really experienced, knowledgeable teacher, meditation should be easy and fun. It can be something as simple as focusing on the breath, repeating a mantra, or some type of visualization to get you started.
Yeah.
Because in meditation, you let go. You're in a state of deep rest without feeling groggy or sleepy. And when the mind is relaxed, right? When the mind is relaxed, there's more space in it. So you can actually concentrate and focus better. Your intuition is off the charts, and you're totally present in the moment. You're totally present to the moment. I always say that in meditation is where I tap into my genius. I get rid of everything that's taking up space so that I can use these big old brains better because I got rid of all the junk.
You know, there's another piece to this, too. Sometimes in the beginning, people, they hear the concept of go beyond your mind or quiet your mind or stop your thoughts. And that actually can really mess up the beginner meditator because it's not true. Your thoughts never actually stop. But with correct meditation instruction, you can learn how to transcend or dive below, if you will, the noisy, distracting thoughts to a state of awareness known as no mind. So to be clear, it's not that the mind turns off, resulting in no more mind. Again, that's really confused a lot of people, and we don't want that to happen. This state of no mind, it's an awareness where your primary focus has shifted to a place within yourself that's calm, present, and peaceful. It feels like no mind. The chatter, the worries, the list of things that need to be done, all of that's faded away, leaving nothing but the present moment to be enjoyed.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Meditation feels so great.
It does.
Like when you will maybe perhaps begin meditation because of all of the health benefits, the psychological benefits, a sense of spiritual connection to something. And then all of a sudden you realize it's actually really fun and ecstatic, and it's something you actually look forward to doing. It doesn't become just a discipline. Like, you know, I it's not like I wake up in the morning and think, I can't wait to brush my teeth, right? I brush my teeth every morning. I brush my teeth every night and hopefully a couple of times in the middle of the day. And that's just how I take care of myself. And you can approach meditation like that.
Yep.
But you will start falling in love with it and enjoying it because it is not difficult. And once we debunk that myth, which I think we did, it's a hoax, it's a bunch of gossip, and it's a bunch of rumors.
Hard, yeah.
You don't have to sit funny. You don't have to wear weird clothes. It's very simple. It's so simple that people add stuff to it to make it seem like something.
That's a good
but
point.
It's more than enough already. It's like people add stuff to this present moment to make it seem like more. And this present moment is more than enough already.
Okay, seekers of the truth, we're busting out the myths here, the false beliefs and the gossip about meditation. So Sabrina, let's debunk the next one.
Myth number two, meditation takes a lot of time.
That's a good one.
You don't have to sit for hours to have a deeper experience in meditation. The connection with that deep inner core of your being, your higher self, your source, can happen within minutes. You know, there's busy executive, productive CEOs who never miss their daily meditations because they know without that special time, they won't be on their game.
True.
Tristan has quite a few clients that he coaches one-on-one that are pretty big CEOs.
Powerful
and
guys.
And these, they find their power within. And it doesn't have to take a lot of time. So if you feel like your schedule's too full, remember, even just a few minutes is better than none. And with a daily practice, the quality of your meditation will improve gradually. So at first, it may seem like, oh my gosh, I just sat there for 5 minutes thinking about what I had to do today. With continued daily practice, the quality of your meditation will improve. See, in meditation, we're in a state of restful alertness. I love that term, restful alertness, that is extremely refreshing for the body and mind. And you'll actually start accomplishing more while doing less. Because when you're in the flow and you're aligned with who you really are, time is an illusion and you're no longer racing the clock. You know, I spent so much of my life feeling like, oh, if I could just get ahead, if I could just get ahead, I'm always just a little bit behind. See, I would be happier if I could just get a little bit ahead. And that's just an illusion in my head that I'm always racing the clock. And a little bit of I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when I have time to meditate. No, you have time right now. Just take a few minutes because happiness is right here. There was a study led by Harvard University that found that 8 weeks of meditation not only help people experience decreased anxiety and greater feeling of calm, but it also produced growth in areas of the brain associated with memory. Right, and we all need that as the clock goes tick-tock. Empathy, which is because it creates more gray matter in the brain. You start having a greater sense of compassion, more sense of gratitude, a greater sense of self, and they were able to regulate their stress better. And that was just as little as practicing consistently for 8 weeks.
And that was a landmark study that they did. I think it was with Massachusetts General Hospital. It's so awesome that people have dug deep and got the science behind why meditation works and able to prove that this ancient practice is so, so powerful and so simple.
Right.
It's so simple if you learn correctly.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so we have meditation is not difficult. Meditation does not take a lot of time. And moving on to myth number three, meditation is a religious practice.
Good one to debunk.
Yeah, and a lot of people are hesitant to talk about it because of that.
Yep.
Meditation, whether it's the, sitting in meditation or the moving variations like Tai Chi and Qigong, are ancient practices that transcend all religions.
Right.
In fact, meditation has the ability to bring people of different religions together. Mm. Just like the sun shines for everyone and the wind blows for everyone, meditation benefits everyone. For some, meditation is used for health benefits. For others, the psychological benefits. And some people incorporate meditation into their spiritual practice like a prayer time. But meditation is best practiced in a spirit of celebration and acceptance of others. Acceptance of others.
It does do that for you. It opens you up. It allows you to see past judgments and prejudices and religious concepts that shut us down. It really does. It's spiritual. It's not religious. It's spiritual.
Well, there's so many, so much data that you can read online about the brain scans.
Yes.
And that people who meditate, the parts of their brain are bigger, particularly the ones who have compassion and understanding. And that what we just said was totally that. It's from a place of non-judgment and acceptance. And that is a strong trait. That isn't a weak trait. Someone could look at someone sitting in meditation that isn't really reacting because they actually understand where the other person is coming from. They understand the pain that that person is in when they're saying something that isn't true. But the meditator might not react because they are living that compassion. Meditation doesn't stop when you get up off the pillow. I was just at the gym, and I was thinking about how to explain to someone that meditation doesn't start when you sit down to meditate and doesn't end when you get up. And there was, people on all those cardio machines. Oh, my gosh, it's just like exercise. When you say you run on a treadmill for 30 minutes, when you get off, your metabolism is going to be raised for up to 6 hours. You just helped your circulation. Your brain just released a bunch of endorphins. You actually have more enzymes to digest fat if you eat it. You're going to sleep better. Those changes are happening. You are a different person because of that 30 minutes of cardio. It wasn't just during the 30 minutes that you reap the benefits, but
right.
It's continued. And if you are consistently exercising, your body totally changes. It becomes a different body.
Right.
And that's how it is with meditation. You actually become a different person in a great way, not like, oh, you used to act like this and now you're a totally different person. It's just that parts of your brain actually change.
It does. It changes your brain.
You become, from practicing, connecting to your gut feeling, from practicing, connecting to your intuition, that becomes more your natural state. You'll start thinking, wow, my gut feeling has gotten so much stronger. Has it? Or are you listening more?
Mm.
Has your intuition spiked, perhaps? Or you just developed ears to hear it better? So meditation doesn't end when you get up off the pillow. It's not a religious practice. It actually takes – oh, go ahead, Tristan.
Oh, no, please.
Meditation takes us beyond that noisy chatter of the mind into stillness and silence. And it doesn't require any specific spiritual belief. A spiritual relief, it is a spiritual relief.
I like spiritual relief.
Most people meditate in order to experience inner quiet and the numerous physical and mental health benefits of the practice. It lowers your blood pressure, it reduces your stress, it helps you sleep better. Meditation helps to enrich our lives, and it enables us to enjoy whatever we're doing in our lives more fully and more happily, whether that's playing sports, taking care of your children, moving ahead in your career, and yes, even deeper spiritual connection.
Our friend Mark Waldman, who wrote a wonderful book, How God Changes Your Brain, he wrote that with, I believe it was Andrew Newberg. Powerful, powerful researchers, these guys. They've dug deep into literally what's going on in the brain while you meditate, and they're really into mindful meditation. And I remember one of the things Mark told me is it creates a feeling of oneness. creates a feeling within you of oneness. You were talking, Sabrina, about the compassion, and I think you were talking about empathy. And this shift takes place for meditators, and they really do feel more connected spiritually to the feeling of oneness. And that may show up as more connection with others, because you start to see yourself. You see elements of yourself in others. After so many years now of meditating, the internal question comes to me so often is, whatever's breathing me is also breathing you, is breathing the puppies, is feeding life through everything. We are connected. There is a oneness, and somehow meditation has opened this up in me.
That's the mirror,
so I can see it.
Mirror neurons.
Right. But isn't it awesome, guys, to be in the remembrance of how powerful meditation is? I find that anything good in my life, like let's say drinking green drinks or, you know, just eating really healthy, exercising, all of that, when I remember why I love these things and what they're doing for me, I'm so motivated to stay on track.
Yeah.
So I really love that you're bringing this to us today, Sabrina, because we all know how good meditation is for us, but I bet everybody can raise their hand and go, I could meditate a little bit more.
Hey, we all teach what we want to learn, right?
Right. Well, we hope this is taking you guys deeper into your practice. So can you bust out a couple more myths for us?
Yes, for the seekers of truth.
That's us.
So meditation is not difficult. Meditation does not take a lot of time, and meditation is not a religious practice. Debunked.
Okay, next one, number four.
Number four, meditation doesn't have any real benefits.
You know, that's interesting you bring that up, because I remember you shared that with me, and I thought, what are you talking about? Everybody knows it does, but they don't. They think it's a waste of time.
Yeah, escape.
They think you're escaping.
Yeah.
Well,
a regular meditation practice increases calm, clarity, and happiness, right, while reducing fear and stress. It increases your ability to tap your intuition, you know, the gut feeling that always knows what to do and when to do it, so you make the right decisions. Your breathing and your heart rate slow down. Your blood pressure lowers, and your body decreases the production of stress hormones and other chemicals that speed up the aging process.
There's a benefit
right
there.
Yeah, that one alone is enough.
You know, I have noticed not only within my own health getting younger, but people who are regular meditators, they look anywhere from 10 to 20, dare I even say 30 years sometimes younger. And even their biological age, when it's tested, will reflect that.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, I think that when people are stressed, let's just say the age of someone's face, you know, they hold their faces in these worried looks, these concerned looks. Sometimes when I'm teaching my movement classes, I'll say, hey, remind your face that you're having fun, because they'll be looking at me like they want to kill me or they're mad at me.
And, that's another kind of stress.
And yeah, it does age you,
stress
having those scorn, worry expressions on your face.
And
you know, meditation increases your confidence. It develops a mindset of prosperity, of there is more than enough, and it deepens your connection to your higher self. In Psychology Today magazine, Colin Allen said that neuroscientists have found that meditators shift their brain activity to different areas of the cortex, brain waves in the stress-prone, this is his quote, right frontal cortex move to the calmer left frontal cortex. And this mental shift decreases the negative effects of stress, mild depression, and anxiety. There's also less activity in the amygdala, where the brain processes fear. You know, I have this thing that happens. I always ask everybody, does this happen to you? Whenever I get suddenly startled, you know, if somebody comes up and makes a sudden noise and I jump, or if I'm driving the car and someone cuts in front of me, any like sudden like, that's my amygdala firing. And my amygdala fires so intensely that it is as if someone shoots an electric current from the top of my head out the bottom of my feet. I feel it shoot through
she
my
feet. She jumps
like
a Mexican jumping bee.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
You do.
And it's not pleasurable.
No.
It's not pleasurable at all. It almost it almost hurts, especially as it shoots down my legs. And it amazes me, the current. I mean, it feels electrical down my feet and through my arms just for like 2 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Amygdala.
You know, it doesn't feel like something that's good.
Well, imagine when that's going on a low grade,
yeah.
Right? People are shooting that same nervous energy, but it's not like a spike like yeah. you experience, but it's constant. What do you think that's doing to the body?
You know, that's such a really good point. And we talk about this when you're used to living in more of a state of flow and something happens in your life that pulls you out, it'll almost seem more painful.
Right.
In contrast, you will notice it like, wait a minute, I am reacting to this. I am really angry about this. This seems so out of norm with who I usually am. Where if you aren't usually in the flow and you're always in the rapid current, you know, like the people in the raft going
yeah,
over the Grand Rapids,
life is a
you know, if life is like that, you may not even notice like, wow, I really kind of mouthed off to that person
right.
unnecessarily.
That's a great point.
And the contrast is different. And I remember reading about that in my early 20s. They were saying that is such a gift. It's a gift to feel the pain of being out of the flow.
Oh, you popped a bubble for me.
Because it reminds you to get back in.
So meditators out there, all meditators out there, when you guys notice something show up in your life, you think, why is this still happening to me? I try to practice flow. I'm really going with the flow. But this is really bothering me. You know what happens is your awareness got turned up
yeah.
that you notice the off stuff more. And you wonder, why is this more painful to me than others? It can be that they don't have the same perceptivity. They are more numb. They're more numb because of the busy mind,
yeah.
numb to these shifts. So consider it actually a good thing when you feel the pain.
Well, if I was sitting here and I like smacked you in the arm and tapped you on the head and kicked you in the shin and just boom, 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 and giving you lots of whacks pretty, you know, like every 10 seconds, you wouldn't feel that many. But if I never do and all of a sudden I come up, boom, you got, what the heck? Yeah, because it's out of the norm. You're not used to being not hit by life, because life never really does that. Yeah. It's always our reaction to it.
It's a great, great reminder yeah. right there, everyone.
So we're on meditation doesn't have any real benefits, and I love to bring this up. Studies show that people who meditate regularly also sleep better. So anyone who's ever experienced a restless night of sleep, tossing and turning, knows that just relax and go to sleep can be easier said than done. meditation practices may help you prepare for rest, can help you get your body ready to sleep by putting worries, concerns, and discomforts behind you. And once you learn to meditate and you have a daily meditation practice, you will know how to relax instantly, because that's where you live. That's
right.
Your home. That's who yep. you are. It's what you do. And you'll know how to do the breathing and the mental focusing that allows you to relax within minutes. Tristan talked earlier about the state of no mind. It's getting into that state where all the chatter is so far, far away.
In the background.
Yeah, and you use your meditation technique to fall asleep when you need to sleep, right? Because we talked earlier about making sure that we sit up straight in a non-drowsy state. But you can use the meditation techniques to quiet the mind so that you can fall asleep. But here's, I think, the biggest problem, especially for a lot of women that talk to me, maybe more in their 50s and 60s, where their hormones are changing drastically. And they say that when they get up at night to go to the bathroom, or say there's a young mom getting up to tend to a child, that they can't fall back asleep, that it's no problem to fall asleep at 11 o'clock at night, but if they wake up at 2 or 3 or 4, they can't get back to sleep. And that's where these techniques are just really gold.
They are. We've helped a lot of people with that, with meditation.
Yeah.
People who hadn't been able to sleep for like 10 years properly.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
just recently.
Going straight to bed.
And because meditation, it also seems to cause the release of melatonin, you know, the natural sleep aid, and it soothes your body and helps release anti-aging hormones. It also lowers the production of cortisol, another stress-producing hormone. Yeah, that can keep you awake.
Okay.
Now, I'm not someone who has consistently a hard time sleeping.
Nope.
But if I have a like a project, like if the taxes, I kind of get our taxes ready for the accountant, and I'm working on being more on time with that because I procrastinate.
Because you love it so much.
It's not one of my favorite things to do. My brain will try to start organizing the files while I'm laying in bed. Mm. It'll start trying to, if we talk about a project that we're going to do too close to bedtime, my brain will say, hey, you know what, while you're laying there, I'm going to figure all this out for you.
Anybody else have that?
Or the only other time is if I've ever taken, which I will never take again anywhere close to bedtime, is a type of allergy or cold medication that kind of has some, I guess it had ephedra in it or something. And I remember I couldn't sleep, and I thought, wow, not only couldn't I sleep, it was like
anxiety.
I couldn't believe how many thoughts I could have in rapid fire from here to there. You know, you're thinking about one thing, and then all of a sudden you're across the world thinking about something else. And I thought, oh my gosh, some people have this all the time.
Mm.
And I felt so bad for them. And that if they could learn to quiet and move away from that, to that state of no mind.
It's a gift.
All righty.
Are we on the final myth?
We are on the final myth.
Okay.
Myth number 5.
Let's do this.
Meditation is a form of escape.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it got such a bad rap with the hippies and people, you know, it's like, oh yeah, they're just meditating, or
flower
even
power, baby.
Flower power. Oh, they're smoking pot and sitting there meditating. You know, so
those
many
two don't go together.
Myths. Yeah. But the real purpose of meditation isn't to tune out and get away from the world and your problems, but it's to tune into your heart, into your heart center, your true self, and your intuition.
Beautiful.
You sink below the mind's churning, swirling surface. It's all full of worry, repetitious thought, judgments, and reactions, and you allow the stillness of single-focused awareness to take over. The stillness is pure consciousness, and you let go of all the limiting beliefs, your self-doubt, your dramas, and experience yourself as a beautiful, infinite self. You're not escaping. You're actually running towards what you are. And if you need to work through, you know, an emotional upset or a trauma or some type of past hurt, you may want to use a releasing meditation technique or work with a therapist if you need to return to a natural state of wholeness. Meditation is not a form of escape to escape from an issue that you need to address and work on. It's a journey. It's a journey into your being where the light shines brightly on all that is there.
I'm so glad that you brought this to light because I have used meditation as an escape in my life. In fact, I used it as a way to cut the wire of awareness happening in my body.
Mm.
You know, imagine that you're driving in your car and you can see all the gauges on the dashboard and they have the gauge for the gasoline and the light comes on if it's getting too hot or maybe the oil is too low, right? Those are all wonderful feedback mechanisms to let you know how the vehicle is doing.
Yeah.
And I actually was doing a technique with meditation where there was a light coming on in my body and it was like literally going to the engine light and cutting the wire so they didn't have to look at that light.
Yeah.
It went out and it was like, okay, everything's fine now. I was using meditation to cut this pain message because you really can use it to transcend. We talked about the no mind state. I got very, very good through my martial art practice of no mind, no mind, no mind. And I could literally just transcend my body pain. But you know what happened? A massive backfire.
Because it wasn't what we explained no mind to be. It was ignore mind.
It was totally.
It was cut the wire mind.
It was not a healthy no mind. It was an escapist technique where I applied meditation in the wrong way. So I love that you brought up that it's not a form of escape. It can help actually turn up some signals that you might have been ignoring or dampening. People dampen signals all the time through food, alcohol, TV, just distractions, right? And some people say, oh, but when I do the meditation, everything gets magnified. Well, that's not a bad thing because those magnifications are there to let you know what's off. Those are the lights on your dashboard that you haven't been paying attention
to. If you're walking around in a dark room, tripping over things, meditation is like
the light.
It's the flashlight. It's like, oh, let me look at that. Oh, my gosh. Who put that chair in the middle of the room?
Exactly.
Now that I know it's there,
so
I can move it.
So don't be afraid of seeing stuff. Use your meditation as a way to become more perceptive, more aware, more receptive in the body, and then seek out that which you need. The meditations, like Sabrina talking about moving into something rather than away, the push and the pull, when you move into it, you actually unwind the tension and the fear and the stress. There is a natural inbuilt intelligence inside us that knows the way back to home, homeostasis, to natural state. Meditation is a bridge that returns you to the natural state if you don't wig out. So notice what's going on and start to practice the art of releasing, which you mentioned in the previous myth, right? To really use a releasing technique if you need it. And well, that's just the depth of meditation training. Get proper training. Really learn from a qualified teacher so that you're doing these techniques in the right way, and they will truly serve you.
That makes it fun, simple, something that you can do, whether you have 5 minutes one day, 10 minutes one day, a full hour, something that includes a releasing technique for when you need it, something that includes a visualization process so that when you're in that beautiful state, you can set the design for your life.
You can enhance the vibration that's coming off your body with visualization. It helps get you into that beautiful energy, spiritual connection, and a meditation that can help you focus. You may be a person that deals with distraction, or you've got so many things coming at you, you need to find the eye of the hurricane. Yeah. That's a powerful aspect of meditation. And then, Sabrina, you did mention that ability to just totally let go.
Yeah.
And you talked about an infinite connection. There is something within us, our being, that's so much more than thinking and the mind.
Right.
There's a brain of our being, right? Mm-hmm. There's a connection to the source of all that is, and meditation really can be a doorway to that.
Well, that's why I love our program, The Art of Mushin Meditation. It really incorporates all of these elements, and whether you have 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes or a full hour, there's going to be a method in there for you to use. And if you need to incorporate brain entrainment to get you started, you can use the audios that have that. Or if you just want to go raw and have none, that's there for
you. Raw meditation. Well, and the brainwave entrainment helps someone get into the meditative state because it can help put their brain in a frequency known as alpha.
Right.
Which is what we want to get into to have the deeper meditations.
I think brainwave is a phenomenal tool for people to use, but I also love knowing how to get there without. So I like incorporating the two. So by using it, your brain gets used to being there. It is training wheels, and then you take them off.
And there's a way to do it naturally with your breath and the sound of your breath. So there's
many
wonderful gifts hidden within meditation. And so obviously Sabrina and I, we highly encourage it. That's why we love taking the time to bust out the myths so that people will embrace this beautiful practice more and more and really get to go deep into it.
You said we bust out the myths. We debunk the myths.
And we busted them out too. I busted it out.
All right, seekers of truth, you have a beautiful day, and thank you for having the interest and the love and the passion about meditation that we do and for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. Much love.